Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
Well, today we're going to be doing part three in our series called Holding Onto Hope. Our theme for this year across all campuses is Keep Hope Alive, and we want to help you stir your faith and keep your hope fueled at a time when many people have lost hope. Now, some of you would know I'm a very proud Tottenham Hotspur supporter, and I have been since I was 5 years old. Unfortunately, in my lifetime, they've never won the Premier League, and they've won very little else too. But in November 2019, it was reported that a man by the name of Jose Mourinho had joined the team as head coach. And when Spurs supporters heard that news, well, everyone's hope levels began to rise, because the name Jose Mourinho is associated with winning trophies. You know, there was great expectation that he would turn things around quickly and bring some silverware to the club, including the Premier League trophy. Nearly a year and a half later, that hope is fading fast, as sadly our team continues to slip further and further down the points table this season. You see, whenever we put our hope in the name of a person, no matter how successful or influential they may be, we'll eventually end up disappointed at some point. And that's why as Christians, we place our hope in the name of Jesus, not in the name of anything or anyone else. Jesus is the one name that brings hope into our lives. In Philippians 2, verse 10, it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know, the name of Jesus is above all other names. His name gives us hope for now and hope for eternity. And our faith and all our hope is centered on the person and the work of Jesus. Now, as we read through the Old Testament, we see God revealing himself by different names to his people, so that they could better understand who he is and what he does. And today I want to look at some of these names of God for the simple reason that each one of them brings an element of hope to an area of our lives. You know, each name of God was given to someone in Scripture when times were tough and things were desperate. And through revealing his different names to his people, God inspired them with hope for the future and to keep trusting him. I've titled today's message, Hope from the Names of God. Hope from the Names of God. I read a book recently called The Power of God's Names, and author Tony Evans says that God has a name for every situation we find ourselves in. We need to learn the names of God, because when we know his character and his capacity, we will find rest and discover peace and power in his covenantal care of us. You know, names are very powerful, and in biblical days, people were very intentional about naming their children, because a name was seen to be tied to their future or their destiny. Nowadays, people tend to name their kids according to what is cool and trendy at the time. We named all four of our kids after significant people in the Bible, believing for them to grow up to be spiritual champions in the kingdom. And a few years ago, I did some research into what my own name meant, and I found out that Dean means valley. And I didn't quite know what to make of that, except to think that's really deep. But God's desire has always been that we would know him more intimately. And as we learn and understand his different names, we draw closer in our relationship to him. And when you identify with an aspect of his name, you have hope for God to deliver you from a particular situation. Proverbs 18 verse 10 says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. So let's have a look at some of these names of God and how they fill us with hope. The first name we see in Scripture is Elohim, the Creator, the Living One. This is the very first name of God that we find in the Bible, And in fact, we see it in the very first verse in Genesis 1 verse 1. It says that in the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. The introduction we have to God in the Bible is that He is Elohim, the creator of all things, the living one who has always existed and who is separate from both time and space. God is not a distant force, neither is He part of creation. He's the uncreated one, the eternal living one, the one, as the Bible says, who was and is to come. In fact, the first 35 references to God in the Bible all refer to Him as Elohim. And this name of God is also mentioned 2,750 times in the Old Testament. You see, only Elohim, God the living creator, can make something out of nothing. You know, unlike man, God doesn't need anything to start with and to make something new. He only has to speak it into being. And the hope that the name Elohim holds for us as believers is twofold. You know, firstly, we are reminded that the Lord created everything. We are not just random consequences of the universe. Because if we were, well, there would be no meaning to our lives, and hope would be something completely foreign to us. But because we are created by the hand of God, we know that there is purpose behind everything that happens to us and all that goes on around us in the world. But secondly, just as God created a perfect world out of chaos and nothingness, we can have confidence and hope as believers that even when our own world seems to be descending into chaos, when, you know, things seem completely out of control, as they are at the moment, that God can still create something good out of it. Even when we feel we've got nothing to offer up to Him because we're depleted of emotion and perhaps drained of finances and resources, God can still create something out of our nothing and thereby renew our hope for the future. He is Elohim, the creator of life and the living one. Then secondly, we see that He is El Roy, the God who sees. In Genesis, God revealed Himself to a woman called Hagar. Hagar was the servant of Abraham's wife Sarah, and when Sarah had been unable to have children, she gave Hagar to Abraham to sleep with so that she could have children through her. Now, of course, this was a very foolish thing to do. Please don't do this at home, because God had already given them the promise of a son of their own. But because they became tired of waiting, they took things into their own hands and they devised a plan that was not God's plan for their lives. And as soon as Hagar fell pregnant, well, Sarah began to resent her, so much so that Hagar eventually ran into the wilderness. She was in a desperate situation with no hope for the future. Hagar was pregnant with no husband. She no longer had a job. She had no home or place to live. She had felt used and, you know, was now rejected and abandoned. And in Hagar's eyes, she was in a hopeless situation. But then we read the following in Genesis 16 from verse 7. And it says, "The angel of the Lord found Hagar beside a spring of water in the wilderness along the road to Shur. The angel said to her, 'Hagar, Sarah's servant, where have you come from and where are you going?' 'Well, I'm running away from my mistress Sarah,' she replied. And the angel of the Lord said to her, 'Return to your mistress and submit to her authority.' Then he added, 'I will give you more descendants than you can count.'" You know, here we see that the Lord encouraged Hagar and reminded her that He hadn't forgotten her, and that even though things looked desperate, both she and the child inside of her had a hope and a future. And then we see Hagar's response and her personal revelation of God. In Genesis 16, verse 13, it says, "Thereafter, Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord who had spoken to her. She said, 'You are El Roy, the God who sees me.'" You know, I have no doubt that many of you who are watching today are going through similar emotions to what Hagar experienced. And you're kind of wondering, does God see me? Does He see my situation? Does He know how I'm feeling? Does He realize what I've lost during this COVID season? Does He know how lonely I am? Does He see how sick I've been? Does the Lord know I've been used or rejected or abandoned? Does God care about the state of my life? Does He realize how hopeless I feel at the moment? Friend, if that's you, let me remind you today that He is El Roy. He is the God who sees. And you can know with absolute certainty today that God sees everything in your life. The author and Bible teacher Denise Kollmeyer says that El Roy is not blind to your plight. Your situation has not taken Him by surprise, although it may have taken you by surprise. He sees exactly what is happening to you every second of the day, good and bad. Your situation, your very life, is always before His eyes. Can you say amen to that? Then thirdly, we see that He is Jehovah Jireh, God our provider. You know, in Genesis 22, God revealed Himself to Abraham in a profound way. And of course, many of you would be familiar with the story of how God asked Abraham to take his only son Isaac up to Mount Moriah and sacrifice him as an offering to God. You see, the Lord was testing Abraham's faith to see whether he was willing to let go of what was most important to him for what was most important to God. And we read in Genesis 22 from verse 9, it says, "When they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, 'Abraham, Abraham.' 'Yes,' Abraham replied, 'here I am.' 'Don't lay a hand on the boy,' the angel said. 'Do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son.' Then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. So he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in place of his son." And then verse 14 says that Abraham named the place Yahweh Yireh, or Jehovah Jireh, which means "the Lord will provide." You know, this past year has seen many people in our country and even in our church go through a very tough time financially. We've had so many prayer requests come in for financial provision because people have lost their jobs. Some have had no income for months, and others of you have had to close down your businesses and let go of staff. You know, it really has been a desperate time for people. And I know many of you even watching today are still wondering how you're going to get through this year financially. But thank God, there is always hope. You know, we see that when Abraham was most desperate and most reliant on the Lord, that God supernaturally intervened. In fact, when Abraham was himself unable to solve the situation he was in, Jehovah Jireh stepped in as his provider. And it's amazing that Abraham's circumstances immediately changed from being completely hopeless to where he would never again be without hope. Church, God is a provider, not just of material things, but also of hope. You see, when God provided for Abraham, it wasn't just that Abraham got what he loved dearly back, that being his son Isaac. Now, Abraham also received hope from God, the hope of being the father of many nations as God had promised. And remember, Isaac represented Abraham's future and his legacy. So without Isaac, Abraham had no future and therefore no hope. But it was only after Abraham was willing to release what was most precious to him that he received the revelation of God as his provider. If today you need God's supernatural provision, as you know, I believe many do, Make sure you obey what he's asking of you. And friend, be willing to let go of what you want for what he wants for your life. Church, God's provision always carries hope with it. And if you put your life and your possessions in his hands, he will reveal himself to you as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, your provider. And you will never lack what you need for each season of life. Then you will always have hope for the future. Then fourthly, we see that he is El Shaddai, God Almighty, the all-sufficient one. In Genesis 35, we read one of seven accounts where God reveals himself as El Shaddai. Both Abraham and Isaac previously had this revelation. And then we read of Jacob, who was given hope for his future when he encountered the Lord as God Almighty, the all-sufficient one. After spending more than 20 years away from home, Jacob returned from his uncle Laban. He now had wives and children to care for, but it was also a season of great change for Jacob and a time of uncertainty about the future. You see, for the past 20 years, things had gone well for Jacob. He had job security, he had a house, he had a daily routine that he stuck to, but now he was stepping into a new season that looked very different to what he'd previously known. And I think we can all relate to that today because we're all in a season that looks different to anything we've previously known. And what that does is it always causes anxiety and stress. And we've seen many lose hope as a result. But we read in Genesis 35 verse 9, it says, "Now that Jacob had returned from Paddan Aram, God appeared again to him at Bethel. God blessed him, saying, 'Your name is Jacob, but you will not be called Jacob any longer. From now on, your name will be Israel.' So God renamed him Israel. Then God said, 'I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. You will become a great nation, even many nations. Kings will be among your descendants, and I will give you the land I once gave to Abraham and Isaac. Yes, I will give it to you and your descendants after you.'" Here we see that God gives Jacob hope for the future by speaking into his future. We see that the Lord firstly changed the name of Jacob to Israel, and God effectively said, "Well, this is who you were, but now I'm telling you who you will become." You know, many of you would know that Jacob's name meant deceiver, and for most of his life, well, that's how he lived. He'd been a schemer, often manipulating things to try and get ahead. But when he encountered God as El Shaddai, God changed Jacob's destiny by giving him hope and purpose for the years ahead. His name became Israel because he would become the fulfillment of the promise that God gave to Abraham. And God gave Jacob a new name and a new hope for his future. But then we see that God also blessed Jacob and caused him to be fruitful. He promised Jacob that he would become a powerful nation, and then God gave Jacob land of his own that would be passed on to his descendants as well. You know, for those of you who are facing huge uncertainty at the moment, remember that God is El Shaddai, the Lord Almighty. He's the all-sufficient one. He has a plan for your life. He has a great future for you. He's able to change the course of your circumstances and your life. And he promises to bless you and provide exactly what you need for where he wants to take you. Can you say amen to that? Then fifthly, we see that he is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. You know, in Exodus 15, we see a name of God that many have held on to for hope during this past year, Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. We read in Exodus 15 from verse 22, it says, "Then Moses led the people of Israel away from the Red Sea, and they moved out into the desert of Shur." Here's that word Shur again, and interesting that we read earlier of Hagar encountering God on the desert road to Shur. And I think it's a good reminder again that it's often in the wilderness or the dry places that we have our greatest revelation of God, because it's when we are most dependent on Him. It says they traveled in this desert for 3 days without finding any water. When they came to the oasis of Marah, the water was too bitter to drink. So they called the place Marah, which means bitter. Now, most of us cannot relate to bitter water. You know, we live in homes and cities where we turn on the tap and fresh, clean, unpolluted water comes out. But that wasn't the case back in the day of Moses. And it's also not the case for millions of people around the world today. In fact, the United Nations statistics show that about 800 million people today still don't have access to clean water. And something else that's interesting is that each year around the world, more people die of consuming polluted water than do from wars. So this bitter water was life-threatening to the Israelites. Remember, they'd already been in the desert for 3 days without finding any water, which, by the way, is about as long as most people can survive without water. Their bodies had begun to shut down. Many would have become sick and feverish with stomach cramps and abdominal pains. Their lives were in great danger. And then when they eventually did find water, well, it was undrinkable, and the entire nation risked being wiped out. And it really was in this desperate situation that God revealed Himself as healer to His people. In Exodus 15:25, it says that it was there at Marah that the Lord set before them the following decree as a standard to test their faithfulness to Him. He said, "If you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, obeying His commands and keeping all His decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." That word heal is the Hebrew word Rapha, which is where we get the name of God as Jehovah Rapha. But that word heal is not just to, you know, put a bandage or a plaster on something to cover it up. It translates to completely make whole, to thoroughly mend and repair. You know, we face this COVID pandemic across the entire world. Whole nations of people have become sick. Many have died, and scientists have been desperate to find a cure. But God's promise to the Israelites is still applicable today to those who love Him and trust Him and obey Him. You know, the scripture shows that the Lord made a clear distinction between His people and the Egyptians, and that He Himself would be their healer. If you are sick today with COVID or any other illness or disease, friend, don't lose hope. No matter how bad things might be, there is hope for you today as a child of God, because the Lord has revealed Himself as Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals His people. And the hope that lies in this name of God is that not only does He heal physically, but He also makes us completely whole in the process. Then number six, we see that He is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. You know, just two chapters later in Exodus 17, the Israelites are attacked in the wilderness by the Amalekites. And it's another discouraging and seemingly hopeless situation. And of course, the people had started to wonder whether God had brought them out of Egypt into the wilderness just to die. But Moses responds by sending Joshua to the battlefield while he stands on the hilltop holding up his staff in the air. And we read in Exodus 17, it says, "So Joshua did what Moses had commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of a nearby hill. As long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Moses' arms soon became so tired, he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. Then they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands. So his hands held steady until sunset. And as a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. You know, here we see that God brought about a supernatural victory. When his people were overwhelmed and overpowered and also outnumbered by the enemy, with no hope of overcoming, God saved them and delivered them. Then we see in Exodus 17, 15, it says that Moses built an altar there and named it Yahweh Nissi, which means the Lord is my banner. The Bible says that Moses' arms had become tired and the battle had gone on way longer than expected. And that really sounds a bit like our current situation. Most people have become tired and weary of this pandemic, having to still wear masks and to keep sanitizing, still not able to go back to what was once normal. People are discouraged, and at times it seems like this battle will never end. Church, don't give up hope. The Lord is still fighting on our behalf. But like Joshua, we need to keep fighting in the valley and doing all that we can do. And like Moses, we need to keep our hands lifted in faith and praise. We have one on our side who will bring about victory for us. His name is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, our banner. And when we come under his banner, well, we carry the power of his name with us. We have access to his protection and covering for our lives. He fights on our behalf. And if we keep trusting and keep doing what is within our means, he will do what we cannot do so that we can still keep hope alive. And when we stay faithful to the Lord, friend, he will fight against that which fights against us. And with God on our side, victory over this virus and pandemic is coming. He is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. Can you say amen to that? I hope this is encouraging you and blessing you today. Let's have a look at one more from the scripture. Number 7. He is Jehovah Tzidkenu. The Lord is our righteousness. You know, the prophet Jeremiah speaking on a future time when God would bring salvation to his people, prophesied the following in Jeremiah 23, verse 5. He says, "For the time is coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up a righteous descendant from King David's line. He will be a king who rules with wisdom. He will do what is just and right throughout the land, and this will be his name. The Lord is our righteousness, Jehovah Tzidkenu. And in that day, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety." You know, Jeremiah prophesied of the coming of Jesus and spoke of a time when God would save people from their sins, making us right with himself. And this, despite the fact that there was and still is nothing we could do on our own to assist in making ourselves righteous. But God revealed himself to Jeremiah as Jehovah Tzidkenu, the one who makes us righteous, not because of anything we've done, but because of who he is and because of what Christ would accomplish on our behalf. In 2 Corinthians in the New Testament, Paul writes about this in chapter 5, verse 21. And he says, "God made him," that being Jesus, "who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." You know, because he is the Lord our righteousness, we are made right with God through Jesus when we put our hope and trust in him. You know, at the start of the message, I mentioned the name of Jesus being the hope that we carry as Christians. And the reason we have hope in his name is because Scripture tells us what the name of Jesus means. In Matthew 1 verse 21, the Lord says to Joseph, speaking of Mary, that she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. You know, the name Jesus means the Lord saves. That's why he couldn't have any other name, because his name had to reflect who he was and what he came to do. Jesus came to save us from sin so we would have hope for this life, but more importantly, the hope and assurance of eternal life. You know, the wonderful truth is that every name of God we see in the Old Testament was later revealed in Jesus in the New Testament. In Colossians 2 verse 9, Paul writes and he says, "For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body." You know, every name and characteristic of God has been made available to us through Jesus. When you place your hope and your trust in Him, we have healing and provision. We live in a constant place of victory because we live under the banner of the cross. We have hope for every battle and the power to overcome anything that the enemy brings against us. We have everything we need when our faith and hope is placed in the name of Jesus. Today, if you need salvation, there is forgiveness of sins available through Jesus, who shed His blood for us at the cross. When we confess our sins and repent of all our wrongdoings, the name of Jesus is powerful enough to save us from the wrath of God's judgment and to save us for eternity. I'm going to pray in a moment, and I want to urge you to surrender to Jesus, the one whose name is above every other name, the one who can make you right with God, and the one who offers the hope of eternal life. Would you pray with me today? Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every other name. Today I confess my sins before you. I repent of all my past and my wrongdoings. Thank you that through the cross, forgiveness is available. I give my life to you in full today. I surrender to you. Thank you that your blood that was shed, Jesus, covers all my sins. Today I make a decision to follow you for the rest of my life. Thank you that because of the hope you bring, I have hope for my future. I have purpose to my life. Today I surrender to you in full. In Jesus' name I pray. And all those who prayed that said, Amen.
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.